Today, some myths around Bitcoin. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today we discuss a recent article from Hacker Noon, Three Urban Legends of Bitcoin Debunked. The author is clearly a digital currency enthusiast, but the points he makes are really interesting and suggest to me that perhaps Bitcoin is not so unlike our current forms of money as it may first appear. I'll add a link to the original article in the comments below. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here is the link, and it's also in the comments below. The starting point is that today digital currency already exists. In fact, 90% of existing money is only digital, i.e. a digital currency. Only $6 trillion, or approximately 10% of the world's current money supply, is in the form of cash. So believe it or not, you're already using digital currency when you swipe your credit or debit card. Bitcoin has the potential to replace the underlying engine that powers the same transactions you make today by being more efficient and entirely trusted, ironically, by being trustless. A mum and dad coffee shop wouldn't have to pay Visa 25 cents for a $10 transaction. And wire transfers in and out of a country could happen in minutes rather than days. Creating new accounts can happen in seconds with privacy rather than days filling out paperwork and waiting for approval. However, misinformation continues to permeate conversations about cryptocurrencies. Most of these conversations are regurgitating rumours and claims, fortified by incomplete understanding of what's going on. And three common arguments against Bitcoin are, firstly, Bitcoin is used for illegal activities. Second, Bitcoin is not backed by anything. And thirdly, Bitcoin is unregulated. Actually, all three are true, but there is a deeper examination to be had for each to better understand exactly what impact it has on Bitcoin and what impact Bitcoin has on it. One of the primary arguments is that Bitcoin is used for illegal activities. There have been many studies done on this, and one of the most recently published research papers is Sex, Drugs and Bitcoin: How Much Illegal Activity is Financed Through Cryptocurrency. In this paper, which was published in January 2018, researchers argue that around $72 billion of illegal activity per year involves Bitcoin, which is close to the scale of the US and European markets for illegal drugs. Considering that the entire market cap of Bitcoin at the end of 2016 was only $14 billion, that speaks volumes, pun intended, to the amount of illegal activity conducted through the cryptocurrency. There's no doubt that Bitcoin's early use cases were for obfuscation purposes that suited the needs of the internet black market. Of course, in 2013, the FBI seized the Silk Road, the largest known black market at the time, and as a result, also seized about 150,000 Bitcoins. But there has come an inflection point in the adoption and use of Bitcoin. Researchers in the paper point out that in recent years, since 2015, the proportion of Bitcoin activity associated with illegal trade has declined. While one of the supposed reasons for this transformation, argued by the research, is the emergence of alternative cryptocurrencies that are more opaque and better at concealing a user's activity, the other one is an increase in mainstream and speculative interest in Bitcoin. In other words, as more people are starting to get interested in Bitcoin, the amount of transactions used for illegal activities is declining. And the new wave of Bitcoin enthusiasts are embracing the idea of using it for different purposes, whether it is to conduct legal transactions, hold for investments, or other uses. On the other hand, on March 24, 2015, economist Ed Conway published an editorial, "We don't need cash. Let's abolish it outright." Don't get confused, the argument for getting rid of cash is applicable only to cold, hard, physical cash. But only 10% of all money exists as cash today. The other 90% already exists as digital currency. In other words, out of the $60 trillion in global circulation, only about $6 trillion of it is in cash. And much like Bitcoin, the very nature of cash is that it is pretty much untraceable. In practice, the currency in our wallets is only the tip of the monetary iceberg. The vast majority lies beneath the surface of the economy, stashed away in mattresses and warehouses, held overseas, or circulating illegally on the black market. In the Harvard-published paper entitled Costs and Benefits to Phasing Out Paper Currency, economist Kenneth Rogoff points out that over 50% of cash in most countries is used precisely to hide transactions. The fact that paper money is anonymous is inherent in the standard monetary theory and is catalyzing the use of physical currency in illicit activities as well. In 2013, nearly 78% of cash in circulation in the US were $100 bills. Only 4% of cash was $10 bills or below. When was the last time law-abiding citizens like you or I used a $100 note in a transaction? Although illegal Bitcoin transactions are diminishing with increased adoption and development in the cryptocurrency economy, it seems that cash transactions are becoming increasingly used for the same reasons. Regulators are beginning to collect intelligence on whether households and banks are stockpiling cash, stacking it away on pallets in warehouses behind lock and key. While research suggests that almost 48% of Bitcoin transactions are used in facilitating illegal activity, the same can be said about cash, where economist Kenneth Rogoff points out that over 50% of cash in most countries is used to hide transactions. With the increased adoption of Bitcoin, the percentage of illegal transactions is falling due to newfound enthusiasm for its use in other activities, such as investment. By contrast, cash is becoming more of an issue. Of course, the amount of illegal transactions occurring through Bitcoin is alarming. The idea that the percentage is diminishing with increased adoption, though, is a good sign. But the reality is that illegal activities and transactions will continue to be fueled regardless of Bitcoin's existence. The culprit isn't Bitcoin or cash alone, but both, because they are hard to trace. Whether or not the privacy of such transactions benefits the economy is an argument in principle and will ultimately boil down to a decision of whether or not the anonymity should be preserved. With criminal use inversely correlated with the recent adoption of Bitcoin and the emergence of alternative cryptocurrencies specializing in anonymous transactions, Bitcoin is not required to be an anonymous currency. After all, the paper Sex, Drugs and Bitcoin, How Much Illegal Activity is Financed Through Cryptocurrency, points out that the emergence of alternative cryptocurrencies that are more opaque and better at concealing a user's activity than Bitcoin is. Another common critique of Bitcoin is that it isn't backed by anything of value. But the current cash system isn't backed by much either. In the United States, President Roosevelt eliminated the gold standard, having the US dollar backed by gold, in 1933. And I discussed this in a recent post with economist John Adams, who is really stealing our money. And here is the link. Even prior to 1933, the existence of the gold standard, or any other standard for backing currency, was little more than a psychological comfort. After all, gold has little practical value. Sure, you can argue that gold is conductive, and people can use it for circuit boards and stuff like that. And one could also argue that paper is flammable and people could use it to heat places up. So therefore cash itself has value and has no need to be backed by gold. But face it, people won't mold gold into conductive material for circuit boards just as they won't burn money to warm up a cold winter. The majority of gold's value is in the supply and demand. By transitive property, the majority of the value in currencies that are pegged to gold was also in the supply and demand. Therefore, by eliminating the gold standard, the United States effectively eliminated the middleman in currency value, transforming it into a pure supply and demand game, where the United States can control the supply side. Bitcoin is also a supply and demand game, because it isn't regulated by a single entity, though, there is no control on the supply side, unlike with government-backed currencies. Furthermore, the entire market cap and volume is a grain of sand compared to the beach that is existing currency supply. The currency supply of Bitcoin equals about $100 billion in value, while the total available money in the world, both digital and fiat, is around $60 trillion. The small total valuation of Bitcoin, combined with the lack of centralized control on the supply side, are two contributing factors, of course, among many others, to its pricing volatility. Another argument against Bitcoin is that it is unregulated. Whether the lack thereof is an advantage or disadvantage is subjective and quite a matter of heated debate. Because the cryptocurrency world is nascent, though it provides the world with an opportunity to apply only necessary regulations and policies, resulting in a much more streamlined system. And it must be done carefully. Regulation blankets policies over an entire population, which can leave many citizens victims of circumstances. In March 2018, Donald Trump enacted a trade tariff on China that severely increased the cost of imported steel and aluminium. In response, in April 2018, China enacted its own tariffs on the United States on imports of things like pork, fruit, and steel. Now the world sits and watches as fears of a potential trade war are slowly inching towards reality. Many fear China's potential tariffs on US soybeans, which account for one-third of soybean sales in the United States. Steel, pork, fruits, and soybeans. So what? Well, who cares if the US can't sell soybeans to China anymore? Well, actually, we as humans should care. Humanity isn't just a list of social security numbers lined up for their turns at daily 8-hour tasks. Individuals that farm the soybeans, pigs, and fruits will be directly impacted as potential sales drop as a direct result of the tariffs. And the more impacted individuals are not privy to the decisions made by the figureheads of the nation. These are the same figureheads that currently regulate the existing monetary system. Just because something is regulated or has rules doesn't mean it's good. It's similar to receiving a new phone only to find that it's already full of bloatware, apps that you have no intention of using but can't delete. They only take up space and, worse, slow your phone down. With 90% of the world's current money supply existing as digital currency, the world is slowly phasing out paper money. Bitcoin is a digital currency, and the major difference is that it uses a decentralized methodology that is fairer than the existing system because it does not depend on trust, just logic. Of course, more regulation is needed and will emerge as it becomes more widely adopted. With the right regulation in place, though, it can become a much more efficient and fair currency model than our existing systems. Well, you may not agree with that. Do add your comments below. But it seems to me he's right in saying that Bitcoin and money have more in common than we might first think. If you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening. I'll talk to you again next time.